station moved from 35th Street to 120 Wall Street. June the 6th, Monday morning, Errol Maitland was at 35th Street. You were at Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And you both connected telephonically a couple of seconds before 6. And you got on the air and you said, "Hello, this is WBAI, Bernard White, at 6 p.m., blah, 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 blah." Errol stopped you and corrected you. During the fundraising drive,
okay,
you were on with Sharan Harper. And you said, "We are going to give you the tape called They Were Here Before Columbus by John Hendrick Clark." Susan Sharan Harper said, "Ivan Van Sertima." You then said, "Ivan Van Sertima." I point these instances out to show that you are somewhat careless in your presentation of material over the radio. So I will ask you, can you cite one, just one specific claim that Gary Null made, which you said, which you can prove has no basis of fact?
That there was not discussions to go that went on regarding the sale of this radio station.
Oh.
There were. That there was one of the crimes that he committed was many of omission, not to.
You mean Gary's crimes?
Excuse me?
One of Gary's crimes that he committed?
Metaphorically.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right.
Yeah.
Was a omitting a variety of different things.
Such as?
Such as how much money had been spent.
By whom?
By, exactly. And by
how much
whom?
Money had been spent by whom?
Right. How much money had been spent?
By whom?
And, hey, calm down. Okay. Calm down. How much money had been spent and by whom and where it was spent. The fact that when the, as I said, when folks marched back into the radio station, that the entire foundation was in severe financial difficulty.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's good enough for me. I'll accept that. I just want to say, this lady who just called,
mm-hmm.
She missed the fact that there was a lot of Zionism in Donovan, wasn't there? Talking about Jews? Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Okay. Spends his time picking out what's wrong.
Yeah, hi.
Good for him. BAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Well, the only thing I can say about this whole Gary Null thing is that, A, he should know better, and I'm sure he does know better. So, as a matter of fact, that from the very beginning, way back when you were, I think you were briefly on his program, correct?
Yes.
And someone else from the other side, I believe. And I recall that the way he edited you constantly. It was quite clear whose side he was on, and he's still on that side. You know, but of course, most people are going to see through him. And ultimately, I doubt very much that he will debate anyone, because I think he knows that if he does debate, you know, he'll look like a fool or a liar or both. I don't think he's a fool. I think he's an extremely egotistical, self-righteous money machine, basically. And we'll see. You know, I think he's ultimately, he's not going to debate. He's just going to continue to throw these grenades. And then he'll leave the station. And he'll say that you guys threw him out. That's what I think.
Well, I do believe that you are correct about our listeners. I think that our listeners are very intelligent and that they will be able to make intelligent decisions based on some of the information that they hear, and that we don't have any fear of, we don't fear anyone putting out anything, because I think that our listeners, they're very bright people, and they will make the right decision.
I don't even think he spoke to Amy Goodman.
No, he didn't.
So, you know, how deep is his research? I mean, if he didn't speak to people involved in this thing, then obviously his research, there is no research. It's just a bunch of controlled information, biased information, that he's presenting as meticulously researched. He's lying, you know, and he's not going to sit down with anybody at the station who will debate these this crap.
Well, thank you very much for your call.
Okay.
All right. You are listening to WBAI in New York. This is Talk Back, and if you're wondering where Hugh Hamilton is...
Hamilton?
Yes.
I just want to say that I admire you as a terrorist.
Talk Back with Hugh Hamilton returns to WBAI on September 10th for another exciting season.
Hugh, this is Bruce.
Good afternoon, Bruce.
Manhattan. I just called to say have a good vacation and glad that your son is there with you and you're having fun. But remember, the moon is full, so there's a lot of nuts out there today. You're still too conservative. I don't know what your politics are, but you're never rude, you're never angry, and you never have hate in your heart. Believe me, they should use some of your insight to reorganize if they're having problems up there at BAI.
Talk Back with Hugh Hamilton, Monday through Thursday, from 3 to 5 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM. Stay tuned.
And it is 4, I guess it's 4:07. We're in another studio today because we had... all of the power just seeped out of Master Control, and we're in one of the auxiliary studios and broadcasting from there. But we started out the day with, the program, but we did start out the day, the program with a lot of oldies, and then took a look at some reminiscences of mine about the death, the murder of Emmett Till, this being the anniversary of when his body was found, and wondering whether there were any events that took place in your life that just made you think differently about the world, about yourself, about the earth. Was there anything that happened to you that you can recall? BAI, you're on the air.
Hi. Actually, that topic you just mentioned, the one, you know, one moment that really changed my view of the world was seeing the video of Rodney King being beaten and cops being found not guilty. I mean, that's the first time ever in my life that I realized that no matter how much money I make, no matter how much education I have, no matter how law-abiding I am, you know, bottom line, you know, the cops can still beat me and nothing will happen. I mean, it's the first time I ever really felt like, I know it's going to sound crude, but, you know, like a nigger. Like, no matter what I do, you know, it's like in their eyes, I'm worthless. You know, then that's just, like, ever since then, you know, when people talk about terrorism, you know, I like to tell, like, I'm a cab driver and I like to tell these people, like, I've been terrorized ever since Rodney King. Because, you know, it was from that point I realized that, you know, even when it was on camera, nothing happened. And it kept on being reinstilled every time, you know, a famous case of police brutality happened, and nothing happened. Like with with Emmett Diallo. I told my mom, when I heard this thing happen, these cops are going to get off. I don't know how they're going to do it, you know, because it was such an outrageous crime, you know, 41 bullets. I mean, how can they justify that? But I told my mother, listen, they're going to get off. I don't know how, but they are. And what happened? They all got off. You know, so that's the one moment that really changed my life and my view of things.
Did you begin to do anything differently as a result of that?
Not really, but just more on like an emotional level. Like, you know, not only do I have to fear the bad guys, but I have to fear the good guys also. You know, I mean, I realize that not all cops are, you know, bad, but, you know, unfortunately, when they start crying about how hard their job is, and how every time they leave for work, they don't know if they're going to come back. You know, I like to always wish I could tell them all that, you know, that's a job that you choose. But I know I didn't choose to be black in America. You know, every time I leave for work, I don't know if I'm going to come back. You know, nobody's paying me to be black. You know, and I mean, if reparations does only one thing, and only one, and if you only manage to get one thing, I pray to God that the one thing that does happen is to expose, basically like shine, put a mirror to America's face and, you know, show all of them the true history of this country. I mean, you know, have like a Clockwork Orange style, you know, viewing to force, you know, all those flag wavers, you know, how brutal this country really, really is. I mean, what they did to the Native American, what they've done to us. You know, just basically show a true history of you know, the creation of this nation. You know, I mean, you know, I mean, I don't want to check, you know, because frankly, if anybody tries to give me any money, I view it as an insult. Because there's no amount of money that, you know, the government has that could compensate for, you know, the emotional, you know, baggage that, you know, I carry every time I walk down the street. You know, you're always guilty before I got to prove my innocence, prove them, you know, not quote unquote one of them, you know, or criminal, or every time I go to a store, I, you know, feeling those eyes on me. I mean, you know, that's something I got to live with, you know, on a daily basis. And it's just an added stress that we go through, you know. I mean, I guess it shows that, you know, the strength that we have as a people, that, you know, we don't just be more violent than they portray us to be. Because, I mean, the stereotyping, you know, knowing to, you know, like every time I hear the, you know, whoop whoop of a cop, you know, the stress level goes up. I mean, you know, praying to God that that's not one of them, you know. And it's, I mean, like I said, if reparations does one thing and one thing only, you know, I wish that every single American, you know, who waves a flag and sing God Bless America and the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, truly have an honest view of the history, the violence, the savagery, the barbarity of what this country was all about and allowed and tolerated. I mean, you know, what happened to Emmett Till was not 100 years ago. I mean, that was in the 60s. You know, people are still alive that remember this stuff. You know, I mean, in the neighborhoods, and, you know, that, I mean, and also talking about, like, lynching. I mean, people would have picnics under a hanging body. You know, I mean, to me, that you know, that view of history and the view of history that I learned in school is diametrically opposed, you know? I mean, you know, that's my only basic wish is just a basic mirror to have an honest look of America, I mean, and, you know, and just to move on from there, you know, I mean, you know, that's the basic watershed event that happened to me that really, like, opened my eyes and realized that, you know, hey, you know, I went to school, you know, just trying to be, you know, trying to live straight, but no matter what I do, you know,
mm-hmm.
I can't escape the, you know, the stereotype that's out there.
Okay.
You know, I mean, and one quick comment about the Gary Noll situation, I just wish people would stop, you know, dividing, like, saying sides. I mean, this is one family. Gary Noll is part of our family. You know, Utrice Lead was a part of our family. Amy Goodman is part of our family. And we just got to realize that we're all on one side, and this is basically a family dispute. You know, and I'm sure Gary Noll, you know, I respect him. There's a lot of things that he said I disagree. But one thing I have to respect about him is, I mean, with all this name calling, I mean, calling him, you know, like Vitamin King or, you know, money grubber or egotist. I mean, that I feel that to progress the conversation. And one thing I respect about him is what he said, I think yesterday or today, was that even though there's all name-calling, all those people that support Gary Noll do not, you know, stoop down to name-calling also. Like, I mean, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he has his point of view and all the fact that he's been exposed to, you know, he wants to promote that point of view. And I'm sure that, you know, if, quote-unquote, you know, the dissident side give more facts towards him, I'm sure he'll change his point of view, because I'm sure he's a very open-minded person. And it just, you know, this does not help our situation. You know, we should, like, stick together and try to, like, bring out more information and enough of the name-calling. You know, enough of it, because, you know, I listen to Gary Noll every day, I listen to Amy Goodman every day, and, you know, both of these people are too good to be like, you know, demeaned, you know, by name calling, because I mean, we're not in grammar school anymore. You know,
okay.
let's stick together as family. This is a family dispute. I mean, like every family has a problem, but we should, you know, just bring up the facts. You know, let's put it on the air. You know, we will have disagreements, and that's normal. But let's not stoop down to a level of start name calling and start the hatred and, you know, this side, you know, my side, their side, they're bad. I'm, you know,
well, you know, I thought that we had gotten beyond that, but what has happened is that all of that has been stirred up again, and one wonders why. Why was it stirred up again? You know, what purpose does it serve? First of all, if you have information like that, if I have something that I feel about you, I'm going to come to you and tell you about it. I'm come to you and ask you about it.
No, absolutely.
I don't know if I'm going to go on the air and just put it out on the air as if it is all factual information. You know, one of the things that we're hearing is that these are facts, and I'm telling you that they are not facts. That a lot of it is incorrect, just totally incorrect.
No, and I agree with you, what you did, though. Like, I mean, you did not cut him off. You mean, it was, if you cut him off, maybe you cut off the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I agree with what you did because, I mean, like you said, some people are having lunch and they'll have only 1 hour. You know, they can't be exposed only to one point of view. You know, I think you did the right thing in cutting in and saying, listen, this is not the full story. You know, here's another side of the story. You know, because, I mean, I believe the more sides that we hear, the more enlightened we are. Because I think what one thing that you three did that was really, you know, self-defeating on her part was a gag rule. Because, I mean, when I pledged in October 2000, you know, and I heard what happened, my first thing was, listen, I put $250 on a pledge for a station that's not the same station I pledged for. And my first thing was to pull out that money. Because, and you know, there was a thing going on, and nobody could talk about it. See, that's something I love about, you know, you guys. I mean, I feel that the air of, like, openness, as opposed to, like, if you say one word, that's it, you're out. You know, and, I feel that the way you're going, Mr. White, it's a perfect direction. You know, like, more information, expose it, put the facts out there. If Gary Knoll's wrong, then let's put out the facts. We don't have to call him a egotist, a money grubber, this. You know, we put the facts out there. And then, you know, the truth will rise to the top. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm just, you know, so glad that, you know, we could have this conversation without worrying about your job, you know, like as opposed to the year before. You know, so I just think, you know, it will resolve itself. I just, you know, I hate when we fight amongst each other. And, I mean, it did kind of tinge in my heart when Gary Knoll was talking about that because I was like, ouch, that, you know, that was a painful year to listen to the radio. And then, you know, to be that topic out again. Kind of painful, but you know, I feel like we're strong enough to withstand that kind of pain and to put it on the air and to, like, you know, maybe to squash some wounds that occurred, you know, bring more light to the situation. So, you know, perhaps if something happens like that again, we could be more, you know, more experienced, more aware, and not let it happen, not let it take over another like 18 months. You know, if something occurs, maybe it'd just be a month, and then, you know, we'd be right back on track again.
Okay,
but. You know, I know there's probably a lot of people want us to, you know, contribute, and I just want to compliment you, you know, on the work you're doing. And by the way, I think Earl Caldwell, I he's conservative, but I think we need that, that type of to add the diversity to the station. So again, like, great job you guys are doing, and continue good work. I'm staying tuned.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much.
BAI, you're on the air.
Earl Caldwell is conservative?
No, I think you meant Hugh Hamilton, but I didn't want to be like the guy who called earlier.
Hi, this is Randy from Woodstock.
Hey, Randy.
And
How's the weather up there, by the way?
It's very pleasant. It's kind of cloudy. I don't like the sun myself. It hasn't started raining up here, but we need the rain, and hopefully we'll get some.
I used to go up to Margaretville up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go over to Margaretville to grab a bite to eat or just to take a nice ride out Route 28, which if anybody from New York likes to come up to the Catskills to get some nature,
yeah.
Route 28 is one of the most beautiful roads in the state because it goes through the heart of the Catskills. And the nice thing about it is you see absolutely none of the American franchises that represent the globalism all the way out to Margaretville. It's the only thing that has any corporate logo you might recognize is a gas station.
Yeah, there's a little golf course up there that is constantly underwater.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
you make a right and you go up that hill there.
Uh-huh.
You used to go there and get maple syrup. And we used to rent a house right on the side of the hill. Really beautiful setting.
There's almost no nicer place on the East Coast or maybe anywhere. It's fortunate, you know, the Republicans are trying to develop it, but fortunately there's still quite a bit of nature to be found up here in it. It's a precious resource and we love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a longtime supporter. I was the one at the big shindig in January, who was demanding fire Daughtry. And the only thing I'll say about what the last caller was saying that I generally agree with, not entirely, but generally agree with what he said, was that what happened on the air, especially towards the end, I mean, how can you deny when, you know, the station that we all subscribed to and supported, it was just single-handedly dismantled, you know, because of this gag rule that was in effect, and it was used as an excuse just to arbitrarily fire some people, yet, well, other people, if they were, you know, we all know the story. I don't need to go through it, but, you know, it was very one-sided on the air, and I just wanted to call because actually I've been trying to call you for a couple of weeks, and it's easier to get through to you on the air, I guess, than getting through. But there was someone who was on the new Saturday at 3 o'clock slot. You had a guy on there named Sam Tellerico.
Yeah.
That to me was a breakout show, and it's certainly, in a musical sense, I think maybe more than a lot of the music shows on BAI, represented musically the Pacifica Mission, in that he's obviously a rec. I don't know anything about him. He may be college. He may have been a volunteer at the station. I don't know. But when he was on doing his show, I put up the Don't Bother Me flag outside my door because he was playing music that you used to hear on the radio and you don't hear anymore, and the reasons for not hearing it are the you know, kind of corporate narrowing of our memory and our collective memory, and that's certainly intentional. And I think that having someone with the knowledge of the music that he obviously demonstrated on the air, playing music that, yeah, why don't I hear that anymore? That in and of itself is a very revolutionary thing to do on the air that I don't think is being done anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And that was certainly one of the best new shows that I like a lot of the new shows, the Create Your Healthy Home and a lot of the new shows in that slot. But when I heard him, it was just like that was a breakout show, and I hope you can find room for him again on the air, because he certainly got a lot more records that I'd like to hear.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether he's going to be here this Saturday or next Saturday, but he'll be back. What we were trying to do with that those Saturday slots is to give some other producers, some people that, you know, or who are totally new, some who are doing other things but have a love for playing music and, you know, have some knowledge of the music, give them an opportunity to come in and play some music.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully get comfortable, those who are really good, so that when we make this next set of program changes, which is going to really be more of a reshuffling of what it is we already have, that they will be able to fit right in.
Well, I certainly hope so. I hate to, just the way the subjects that I wanted to address here worked out, I hate to leave on a down note, and I'll try to be as diplomatic as I can.
We'll go right ahead.
But I was listening this morning to the report to the listener, and I believe three phone calls came in a row regarding the usual host of this time slot,
mm-hmm.
talking about the 8 hours that he has and everything. And I listen to a lot of people on WBAI who I either agree with or vehemently disagree with, but for the most part, I listen, I think, like most listeners, because there's a conversation and there's a real exchange of information, usually from a passionate view of one type or another. And I've tried to listen to Hugh Hamilton over the year or so that he's been on, and the problem with you that I think is generating a lot of this is that somehow he's what I call a prognosticator. He sounds like he likes to hear himself announce. And a lot of the, like, if I hear him say, you know, this global village that we call the World Wide Web, I mean, radio is a valuable resource, and one of the parts that makes it valuable is time. And he seems to waste a lot of time with these endless reiterations of call letters and frequency and, you know, all of the mundane stuff. And there's no real communication that we listen to BAI for, or less than there should be. And it's kind of difficult to wade through. And frankly, just, you know, I don't know the three people who called you this morning. It that could have been planned. It could have not been. But I have to say, unfortunately, that I agree with what they were saying, and I think that TalkBack would be much better if it went back to its original format of having a different host every day, you know, with emphasis on the phone calls, but different hosts with different views, and a bit more communication. That would open up a lot of the airwaves to people who want to do talk shows, even some maybe former program directors there, or Lynn Samuels, even now that she's been fired from WABC. I mean, I'd like to hear a variety of voices, because frankly, after not listening to Hugh for a long time, because I have to say, and I hate to admit it, but I there's a talk show in Albany that is on at the same time that's much more pleasurable. So I used those 2 hours to get something else. But I did tune into Hugh Hamilton the other day, and I heard him treat a succession of callers in a way that I can only describe as reminiscent of the old Saturday morning at 10:30 host. And as a listener and as a supporter, I found myself for the first time since everybody's been back there, like shaking my head, saying, "Why are callers being treated this way on my radio station?" So, unfortunately, I have to support what the other callers were saying this morning. I've been meaning, in one way or another, to communicate this. I think it's time that this slot be opened up to some different voices, and yeah, let Hugh get the throwdown Thursday.
Let me ask you something, because this is one of the dilemmas that program directors and program councils.
I've been there. I've done that.
But what happens is that we have moved into an environment here where we have to pay. We have to pay rent, and we have to keep the lights on. And we have found over the years, from trial and error, that when you have many different people doing talkback, that they each will develop an audience. One of the things that I recognized while we were not here, that you could come on and just blow your nose into the microphone and you'll develop an audience. It may not necessarily be a large audience, but if you take that person,
50,000 watts in New York City,
there'll be somebody who'll say, "Hey, I missed a guy who used to blow his nose in the microphone." But building across the board for having some consistency with the host winds up building up an audience, and that audience translates into revenue for the radio station. So the dilemma is to have a diversity of opinions and ideas incorporated into one person, because when you balkanize it, when you divide it up, you balkanize it, and it becomes a weaker when it comes time to pay the bills. And that's a reality. We must pay the bills. People, you know, who aren't associated with the bill paying, those who don't talk to the people who are calling in demanding that they get their money, don't recognize the pressure that's on us to pay the bills. Now, there are some limits. That doesn't mean that we will go out and get programming that is going to be the antithesis of our mission, but it does mean that we have to consider in the organization of our day those things that will allow us to maximize revenue.
Well, may I elaborate on those concerns, because I do have a view on that. I remember the days when you had a different host, Oftentimes, I think, if I remember correctly, some of the hosts rotated on a biweekly schedule. And the thing I would say in response...
That made it worse.
And yes, and it does make it worse. Unfortunately, I understand that this is some of the most valuable airtime, certainly afternoon drive, that the station has. And my response would be that some of the hosts that were on the rotating format before were not programming to the... They were more specialty programming, and they tended to try, a lot of them, to limit their focus. And I think that was the big mistake. I think if the selection of the five hosts, and I would guess that including Hugh Hamilton, that under what I would like to see, that what you would be opening it up for would be three other hosts, because I certainly don't think that, especially at this hour of biweekly, listeners can't follow that. But if every week one person is on, and the selection of those three people should be of a caliber of, let's say, a Lynn Samuels or of certain other people who have graced WBA.
See, now you say of Lynn Samuels. I mean, I
know there's a lot of politics there, too.
I don't particularly care for her programming.
Well, that's, I can certainly understand that her... I only used her as an example, and... I'm certainly not even necessarily putting it. I'm only using her as an example of someone. You know, you brought over Gary Bird and Bob Law, and with them not being on the air consistently at night, especially Bob Law. I'd like to see Bob Law do one of the days, because at least you'd get some more. You know, I like when you're doing it. Of course, you have the entire morning time, but and I understand why you're doing this. But, you know, it's just nice to have a change of someone who, you know, allows people to speak and does what BAI is supposed to do, but just, you know, a few different voices. The comment I really think is that 8 hours a week is too much, especially for someone of the sort of regimentation in programming that Hugh Hamilton does. And that's just my personal opinion, and I've said it, and I feel very happy.
You feel better now?
Oh, yeah.
Has the maple syrup, is that ready yet? Or?
I've seen them sapping the trees over here, but a lot of the trees up here are actually having trouble because of the drought and because of the pollution coming from the Midwest. So some of the maple production is down.
Oh, yeah, you had a lot of the smoke from the fires.
We buy it at the natural food store here in Woodstock, so we're not that back to the lake.
Okay.
Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and thank you very much for the time.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, I'm calling because, to tell you the truth, I would like to see you, Trece Lead, back on the air. Even though I agree that what she did was wrong, siding with the coup, the way I look at it, she's a great person, and all great people, they make great mistakes at least once. And her big mistake, from the way I look at it, was that all she could see was that here was Bessie Walsh, a black woman, getting vilified left and right by what she saw was white people, even though there were also black people vilifying her. But she had a blind spot, and all she could see was that, and so she automatically sided with this Bessie Walsh. And that's why she took the wrong side, because that's all she could see. She had a blind spot. And we all politically have our blind spots, and none of us are pure politically in our thinking. And so I think that we should forgive her. And she is very, very great, and we need her voice on the air. And that's my opinion about her. One other thing regarding Gary Null. Now, I think he's a great person, too, but the fact that he has two other programs now on two different stations, and he's been on BAI for over 20 years, 5 days a week. Now, I think that the fact that he's got other programs, then he doesn't belong anymore on BAI. Not because I have anything against him. I think he's great. He made his impact and all that, and he's a great person. But the fact that he now has exposure elsewhere gives someone else a turn. And also, to tell you the truth, some of his programs, he's become a little bit lazy on a lot of his programs where he has these pre-taped people just talking about how they improve their life. He's not as on the ball as he used to be, even in that department. And one more thing, Earl Caldwell, even though he's very nice, you know, I hate I almost feel guilty saying this, but I feel like I have to say it. Even though he's a nice person and all that, he seems to be too much, as Eutrice would say, on the scenic route, the way he goes on and on and on, and you never really know where he's going, and he'll go one way, and then all of a sudden he'll go the other way. And it's just, it doesn't make for good radio. Maybe it makes for very good writing as a columnist and all that, but I just find it almost abusive of the listeners. Okay. Also, it's like he doesn't really seem to take a stand on things. He seems to say one thing, and all of a sudden, a minute later, it's like he's saying something else. So I wouldn't. So he irritates me, even though he's a very gentlemanly person and all that. Another thing I'd like
Wait, how many things you got?
One more thing. Okay. Armand DeMille, I'd like to see him like be the replacement of, let's say, Gary Noll. Have him on 4 days a week. Gary Noll was on 5 days a week, over 20 years. I like Armand DeMille. I'd like to see him back to at least 4 days.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Well, thank
you.
Well, now, listeners out there, I guess you can see that there are as many opinions about how this radio station should be structured as there are people willing to give opinions. And there are some people who she wants to get bring Eutrice back and get rid of Gary Noll, and you know, there's just many different opinions, and there's never going to be a time when everybody is going to be satisfied, where everybody's going to like what is happening at the station. But hopefully what we are doing is satisfying your information needs, as well as your entertainment needs, and we're going to continue to try and do that as best we can, dealing with all of the other exigencies that we must deal with. BAI, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Bernard.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it's my pleasure speaking to you, my brother. It's Omar calling from West Harlem. How are you?
Okay, and you?
Oh, pretty good. I, first of all, humbly disagree with the brother who said that Earl Caldwell was conservative. Further from the
truth, I should have said something, but I don't think he really.
No, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I'm sure he doesn't know Earl's record. He's
really think he meant Earl. I think he was talking about another producer.
Talking about who?
Another producer.
Oh, okay. First of all, Earl is one of my mentors, but I would also like to come to the defense, not that he needs it, of the brother who does the talkback show, Hugh Hamilton. There's not a day that goes by, and I live here in West Harlem, that I don't hear someone compliment him. Either it's on his accent and how sophisticated he is. He is, in my humble opinion, a breath of fresh air. And with no disrespect to the sister from Woodstock, but I totally disagree with her. I think that Hugh Hamilton is an asset to the WBAI family, and that I wish that he was on more time. I've called his show on several occasions, as you know, and we've agreed and disagreed, but as brothers. And I think that we need more input like Brother Hugh Hamilton. And that's just my opinion. And once again, a belated happy Harlem week. We are winding down here in Harlem. And we want all the brothers and sisters who participated to please come up for the health fair coming up next month, which I'll be one of the guest speakers.
Okay.
Okay, my brother. Thank you, and keep up the good work.
And thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello, Bernard.
Hey there.
Hey, listen, you know, except for Omar from the Big Mango, I'm getting depressed here listening to all this. You know, I need some of whatever you're taking. listen, Bernard, I'd like to just get two thoughts across to you here. The first is that I also was quite affected when I was a child by the passing of Emmett Till, the murder of Emmett Till. Happened to be about 12, I believe, at the time, and I was visiting my cousin in Mount Vernon, New York. His name was also Emmett, and I think the reason why it was so affected me was because of the way it affected him. It really changed him, and it hurt him to the core. He couldn't get over this, and the reasons for it. And I've heard some things lately about it in a documentary fashion that tells me, I believe it came from Mamie Till, and she was saying that or someone in her family was saying that he didn't whistle at all. This was, he had a speech impediment, and this is the way that it came out when he was trying to talk. However, you know, I sort of want to get away from that because, Bernard, I want to give you treat you to maybe a positive watershed from all this stuff you've been going through today.
Okay.
So let me just whip this on you, okay? Let me ask you a question. How would it be for you and the producers at WBAI or and all the Pacifica affiliates if you could cut periodic on-air fundraising by about 30 to 60% or more and to do that on a continuous basis without paying through the nose or anything else for it, just by being smart?
Uh-oh. Which pyramid is this?
This is not a pyramid. It has nothing to do with a pyramid. As a matter of fact, I emailed you today on this. If you go back to your workstation, you'll probably find that there. And I sent a letter to Valerie Van Isler last week. I know this is not the right forum to discuss this kind of thing on, and I won't. But I thought it was the right kind of forum to just bring this to your attention. Because my company, this is when I say my company, I mean my company. I'm the CEO of this company, and I'm a long-term BAI listener. I've been looking for some sort of a solution for you guys for a long time. But we can provide a solution that can remove the need for and the specter of on-air fundraising at WBAI and other Pacifica affiliates. And let me just say that our company is the first commercially successful entity of its kind in the Northeast, and I think that it deserves your concern and attention.
Okay, then what I will do, I will look at that. You faxed it to me?
I emailed it to you.
Email.
So, yeah.
I'll look at that email when I get back to the office.
Thanks, Bernard. I appreciate that.
Okay.
You have a great day.
You too now.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello. Bernard?
Yes, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
Okay, and you?
All right. You know, I'm very, very concerned about the people that are calling. You know, Gary, the other day, you cut him off, which you know, I feel you were in error, okay? Now, people are saying that we should get rid of Gary. Now, I'm wondering where...
Not people. A person said that.
Many, many callers are saying this.
I haven't heard any.
No?
No.
You didn't hear any callers saying that?
No, I...
Well, I've heard... Right on the show, I've heard callers saying this, okay?
When? But today?
Yesterday.
Well,
and this morning.
See, here's another thing that happens. There was one caller that I remember, and my memory is not the best, I will say that. But there was one caller that called and said that she felt that he should be taken off. But I don't think there was anybody else that called and said he should be taken off.
Well, anyway, Mike.
I mean, because you're angry with someone.
No,
I'm
not.
You don't think
angry.
They're doing something. Not you. I'm talking about people. That doesn't mean that you.
There were many callers that were suggesting that. This morning there were. Yesterday they were. There were some that were suggesting that. Which I wonder how genuine these people are. Because regardless of what any of us think about Gary, Gary is one who makes a lot of money for the station.
See, now, there are
just
some...
Just a moment.
I'm going to correct you right now. Gary does well at the station. But there are many other programs that do better.
Okay, fine. But, you see, look, Gary is one that... See, I try to get a lot of listeners to listen to BI. Regardless of where I stand and how I feel about what side of is what I was at, the station is priority. That's number one. Okay. And there are forces that want to destroy that station. We cannot make any doubts about it. There are forces, I don't know which one, but there are forces that want to destroy that station simply because of the information that station puts out. Now, when you introduce people to that station, there are some people that are not political. There are some people that don't care nothing about race relations. There are all kinds of people. No, they don't care about Mitchell Carter. None of those things. But everyone cares about their health. Now, those who are saying, well, Gary's this and Gary's that. Now, let's look at it. The other side, they presented their story. Now, this side has control of the station. They're presenting their stories. Okay?
Gary, that's not true.
Just a moment.
But that's not true.
Can I finish what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's not true.
What's not true?
What you're saying is not true. What happens is that there were people who were here for 13 months who almost on a daily basis presented their story. there are folks here who have, who when we first got back here, who were very upset and talked about their being out and how glad they were to be back, and talked a little bit about what was had been going on. But very little of that took place. In fact, by March, most of that was all over. And March, April, May, June, July, and here we are in very close to September. There was very, very, very little talk about that. And now, all of a it's not a perspective.
That's
hold on. It's
the
reality.
I heard a different. I heard something different, which is fine. You see? However, Gary never took a stance.
That's true.
Wait just a moment. Let me finish.
That's not true either.
May I finish, my brother?
Okay.
He never took a stance, okay?
Not
he
true.
Decided he was going to do a paper. I was wondering, when is he going to speak? Well, to be frank, I respected Utrecht because she has always had a track record in this community. And she has never done anything to deceive or betray black people.
Mm.
So I've always had great respect for her.
Well, we have a great difference
fine.
Of opinion.
That's okay. That's okay, my brother. You're entitled to that. Now, here's Gary. He said some things on Monday that I didn't appreciate it because she stepped on Sister Utrecht's toe, which is fine. However, when he started talking about the present management, now you cut him off and say, well, Gary's this and Gary is that and this is not. Hold on a second. That is an insult to an intelligent audience, as you claim BI and everybody claims BI audience is, because we should have the opportunity to listen to what he's saying. You shouldn't be, look, that's like me saying, look, hey, listen, what you two are saying, it's all lies, blah, 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 what, and fine. What you say, there's somebody in the middle, what he's saying is a lie, but here's what we have to say. No, that's totally inappropriate. We should have the opportunity to listen to everybody's side. And I feel very, very insulted, and I'm one of the biggest supporters of BAI. You see what I'm saying, my brother?
I have nothing against you.
I have nothing against you.
Well,
but how dare anyone say, well,
there
are so many people that respect that man. He's very, very respected. And how dare people saying, well, oh, we got to do this, we got to do that. I'd love to see you just back.
Well, what do you mean how dare people? People have a right to say, just like you're saying what you have to say. Most of which I believe is not true, but you have a right to be incorrect.
I'm sorry. You're right. You're absolutely right. I shouldn't be saying that. But I think Gary is an asset to that station, my brother.
I would agree that he is an asset.
And he presents information that no one else has.
Well, that's not
you
true.
Saying?
I don't think that's true.
Kaku.
A lot of people have similar information. A lot of people have similar information to Michio Kaku. Gary's been here for a long time. He's one of the pillars of this radio station. He has done a lot for the radio station, and the radio station has done a lot for him.
Okay. Now, one more thing.
So it's a reciprocal.
One more thing. Let me ask you this. I remember when Beth Watts fired you, whatever the case may be. Sister Utrecht had you on the station. Now, I think in all fairness...
No, she didn't. She did not. But she didn't.
May I finish?
No, but you keep coming up with these things that aren't true, and then you want to finish.
She did not have you on her show?
No.
She did not?
No.
What, brother?
No.
I remember one of the questions she asked you specifically. She asked you, would you come back to the station?
See, now...
And Beth said it's up to her. Remember that?
No,
do you remember that?
That's not true.
Oh, so everybody's a lie except...
No, you. No,
if
you're
gonna, if you, that's my point.
No, you.
See?
No, hold, but no,
lie.
No, hold on. No, wait a minute. First of all, that's not true. When Utrecht became the station manager, she gave up the talkback slot. Now there was a time when Utrecht interviewed Bessie Wash, and she asked Bessie Wash, "Would Bernard White be allowed to come back to the station?" And Bessie Wash said, "That is up to you." Now, there was a program that was held very, very early on in the game that was hosted by Mario Murillo. And Mario asked me, would I come back to the radio station? And I said that I would not come back to the radio station until Utrecht Lead was gone. And that is what happened. What you're saying never took place.
Because that sister was a voice for us.
But what you said never took place.
Okay, okay. But you were the one that opened the door for the attack on her.
Excuse me?
Just like Malcolm X.
How is that?
Anybody else.
How is that?
Whenever we have a voice.
How is that?
Speak for us.
Don't just run on. You know, if you say something, be prepared to have an exchange. Don't just run on. You said that I opened up the door. What are you talking about?
Yes, because when you said you three must leave, and historically, whenever we have anyone, start with Malcolm X, Garvey, Farrakhan, Sharpton, all of them, it was always a Negro that they used to attack. And you were the one that did that.
Okay, let me tell you, and I pulled down your mics because you have a tendency not to listen. We have here one of the things that I was talking about before is that in the face of all of the facts, especially this happens a lot in the black community, that we have invested a whole lot. And justifiably so, in a lot of instances, in blaming white people for our misery. And in a lot of instances, it has been white people that have caused the misery. But when there is a situation when we are confronted with facts to the contrary, rather than deal with the facts, we will still be susceptible to someone saying, oh, no, that's not what's happening. What's happening is that white people were doing it. Now, that was the case that took place here early on in the 13 months. In fact, it went to the point of developing a Svengali that we could incorporate all of what was wrong with the radio station into this one individual. Now, one of the things that happened at WBAI and at Pacifica stations and at these type of foundations where you have, what are they called, human service organizations, is that there is a mission that everyone adheres to. That you may have disagreements, but one of the things that you do not do is to destroy the organization. When you find out that the organization is not what you want it to be, then you walk away rather than destroy the organization. I had several conversations prior to the coup that took place on December 22nd and told people that if they embarked on such a journey, exactly what would happen. And they told me that they didn't care about any of that. That they felt that they were personally disrespected and they would not be disrespected. Now, disrespect in the human service organization is not disrespectful. In fact, you have to almost expect it, that you're going to do a lot more work than you're going to get paid for. And you have to know that going in. Yes, once you're there, you struggle to get paid. But you don't try and destroy the organization to get paid. You work within the mission. You don't try and sabotage the organization to satisfy your own personal desires. And that's what happened with a lot of the folks who decided that they were going to get paid. They could move other people out of gigs, and they could get the gig, and they could get paid. And all you have to do is look and see how many people who were involved, how many of them got jobs. How many people almost doubled their salary. It was about getting paid. And what I think the Palmer memo that went to, that began to really first talk about or alert people that there were conversations going on about the sale of the station, said that there were differences in the staff at WBAI. And I think the executive director at Pacifica at that time began to identify who they could use to begin to fracture the staff so that they would not be a real fight back, because people would be confused. If you can get someone who everyone believes is one way and get them to act in another way, there's going to be a period there where people will be confused. But in time, they will begin to recognize just what's going on. And in time, our listeners began to recognize that the radio station was being transformed. It was being transformed into another type of organization, an organization that at one point was very friendly to its listenership, was then very nasty to its listenership, that at one point had a lot of different voices talking about things that were happening around the world, to not having those voices available, to being creative, to not being creative, to reaching out, to not reaching out, to doing community events, to not doing any community events. You may hold on to what it is that you believe because it makes you comfortable, but that is not the reality. Yeah.
Look, that some of what you're saying is true, and the first priority is the organization. Even though I'm going to tell you up front, I'm not going to deny this. I love that sister. And you know why? Because she has a track record in our community. And I know how silly black people are. Any old racist could get up and say, that Negro is no good. And we jump on the bandwagon because of the hatred we have for ourselves. No one can deny that. This is why Malcolm is dead. This is why so many of them are demonized and discredited. You see? I understand that. That's not a problem. Now, when you say there were vile things, I was in that station, my brother. And I've heard the calls that came in. I came down there. I usually just send my money in. I have people. I fight with people.
But you can't. You can't take the calls.
I've listened to you.
You can't take the calls of people who called in who were upset, and then say because they called in and they were upset that means that what happened was not wrong. What happened? I mean, there were people who were terminated, who did nothing to be terminated.
It's out the window now, you see?
And what?
This was one of the premises that people turned against our sister. Free speech, but now I think it's not free no more. Darren Allen is no free, it's not free to speak no more.
Uh-huh.
See? I'm just saying what I experienced.
Okay.
I was down at that station.
Yeah.
I listen to BR for at least 15 hours a day. I don't watch television. This is the kind of confidence I have in this thing. And I love this thing. And I haven't gone since you just took control of the station, you see? And
see, but no individual, no individual should take control of WBAI.
What?
No individual should take control of WBAI. You know, I see myself here as a, and I'm going to have to cut you loose because
okay,
I got to get out.
Problem.
All right, thank you. I see myself as a worker. I'm no better than any of the other workers here. I have a particular function. They have a particular function. And without any of those functions, then this institution falls. So I'm, you know, my function in the eyes of some people might be, you know, some lofty position. But in my eyes, I'm just another worker here trying to make this thing work. And no better than any of the other workers. My name is Bernard White, and this has been Talk Back, and I'm out of here. Thank you for those of you who participated.